is I'm going to preach you this message and I'm going to get out of the way. And then you see the cross right here in the center. Some of you are going to need to come up here and kneel at this cross right now and say, God, I'm getting out of the way, and I just want you to use me as a channel. I want you to use me as a vessel. My life's not my own anymore, God. I really believe that you're coming back soon, and you're coming back for a church that's militant. You're coming back for a church that's in fire. You're coming back for me, God, and I want to be ready when you come back. My lamp's going to be lit. It's going to be trimmed. I'm going to be witnessing. I'm going to be sharing the gospel. I'm going to live my life for you. That's my goal today. It's to be a facilitator, not in the persuasiveness of words, but in just bringing forth what the dynamic that God wants to bring, so that you'll be on your knees to get so squeaky clean before God that when we go into worship, Gary, when we sing these songs, you can't stand in your seat, and you can't sit in your seat. And I don't want you standing on the seat. Stay off the seat, okay? But you can get out of your seat and you can move. That's what God wants to do today. I'm excited about it, and I'm the one that has to bring forth this message. But there's power in resurrection. And again, if you look at the sign out front, and this was not coordinated, Joanne put on that sign out front that the resurrection power of God lives in you. I'm riding to church this morning, and on the song right there, I only have time for one song between a house and getting here, and this song you're about to hear leading into my sermon was on. So I want you to just sit, listen, and today's message is going to be reflected on that sign out front. It's going to be reflected in this song. And it's going to be reflected. And it's not the great I am, Pam. It's the one, the beneath the waters. I will rise. I will rise. So listen to this song. Hear the words in your heart. Listen to my message in your heart. And then I'm just going to ask you to respond as God would have you respond. Amen.
Thank you.
Stay standing. The Bible is the Word of God. Supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, inexpressible in valor, infinite in scope, regenerative in power, infallible in authority, universal in interest, personal in application, inspired in totality. You need to read it through, write it down, pray it in, work it out, and then pass it on. Truly, it is the Word of God. It brings into man the personality of God. It changes the man until he becomes the epistle of God. It transforms his mind. It changes his character. It takes him on from grace to grace and gives him an inheritance in the Spirit. God comes in. He dwells in. He walks in. He talks through. And he sups with him. The Bible is the Word of God. Father, I pray right now that as your Word gets implanted into our soul and in our mind, that God, we won't just be effectual hearers, we will be effectual doers, so that when you come back for your own, and that includes every one of us, God, we will be prepared, we will be ready, we will rise according to the Scriptures. Now this morning, Lord, I pray that we have ears to hear as your message goes forth by the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, 13, and 14. Listen. Paul, on fire for God, writes to the Philippians and says, that I may know him. This is his prayer. This should be your prayer today. That I may know him and the power. See, it's all about today. Resurrection Sunday. The power. I want to know him and I want to know his power. I want to know the power of his resurrection. We can, you know. And the fellowship of his sufferings, we don't want to hear that. Being conformed to his death. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having already laid hold of it yet. And we can all agree and say amen. But one thing I do know, says Paul, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what I know lies ahead, I press on. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God that's in Christ Jesus. That's powerful. This says, folks, that we are to press on as Christians. The word press on. Disregarding our past failures, we are to exert ourselves continuously and vigorously. That's what pressing on means. To exert ourselves continuously and vigorously to what? To enter into God's purpose for our lives, not our own. You are to diligently live for Jesus Christ while you're here on this earth. That's what you were created for. Not your kingdom, but his kingdom come. And his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In this particular case in Scripture, as Pam leaves it up, the call of God on your life. That's what you're pursuing and digging deeper for. The call of God on your life by digging deeper into his word, the knowledge of him, right? Operating in the power of his resurrection and enduring any suffering that you come across along the way. Counting it but just lost. Knowing that you're going to have eternal life, knowing that you're going to breathe easy, no more pain, no more tears, no nothing. You're willing to endure suffering in this life because that's where it's going to happen. Isn't it going to happen up in heaven? Pain-free, joy inexpressible, eternity with God, ruling and reigning, every desire. That's the goal. That's what you have to keep in front of your eyelids every day that you come in here, every day that you're called to prayer, every day that you go into praise and worship. Not to be complacent, not to get lukewarm, not to say, oh, not today, I just don't feel like getting out of bed. Not to say I don't want to join them, there's other people praying. Not to say any of that, because that means someone doesn't have that goal, that vision that's in front of them. See, Jesus knew he was going to the cross, and for 3 years he had a ministry, and he never got tired of praying, and he never got tired of going to church, if you will, into the synagogue. He never got tired because the vision stayed in front of his eyes. He saw that cross. He knew where he was going. Therefore, he was motivated day by day. Instead of getting weaker, he got stronger.
Right.
We have got to make the choice to keep the vision in front of us that he's coming back soon. And therefore, we diligently labor. We work. Which I'll address in a moment. You got to dig deeper into His Word. You got to start operating in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And you have to endure all of those circumstances, knowing that Jesus is there to lift you up from beneath the waters to the top. Irregardless of the timing. But understand this. It is only possible as you yield to the Holy Spirit residing in you. You can't get her done. You don't have the ability, nor do you have the expertise, nor do you have the wisdom to get it done. All of that expertise, power, and wisdom and all that stuff resides in you, and you got to get out of the way and you got to tap into it. If you don't, you'll live a defeated life. You have to yield. In other words, surrendering your thoughts.
Ooh.
Surrendering to His thoughts. Surrendering yours, getting rid of them, but then surrendering and giving them His, to have His thoughts within. And then choosing to act upon that instruction. So you have to get in touch with the thoughts of God, the voice of God, the thoughts of God, the instruction of God. And when the instruction of God comes, whether it's from the Logos, which is the written word, or Rhema, which is God speaking to your heart that you know, or through praise and worship, or through the offering, or through any means by which God chooses, a donkey, right? Even in the Bible, a donkey was able to speak because we got a supernatural God.
That's right.
But by whatever means you hear His voice, it's not enough that you just hear His voice. You must act. You want the power of the resurrection? You want to be off the cross and not on it and feel like you're carrying a burden? You want to be lifted to be able to serve God in ways that you couldn't even imagine? Then, folks, you have to act upon the instruction that comes through the Rhema and Logos of God. You got to work. Because it doesn't come easy. It's not easy to get up every morning and pray. It's not easy to get into God's Word. It's not easy to obey when lusts are bringing you into a certain area and you want to do it, the flesh wants to get pleased. It's work for the body, not your spirit. Folks, surrender and act upon the instruction. The life that is in you, and I'm telling you the truth here, is 1,000 times smarter and stronger than you are on the outside. What lives within you,
yes.
Who lives within you? The Holy Spirit within you is 1,000 times stronger than you could possibly be any time at the outside. So don't miss God in your life or the ministry that He would give you. Don't miss God because you're lazy or complacent or you just don't feel like it or you're just here and you're good at 55. Put the pedal to the metal. Seriously, this is the only time that you're able to break man's law. When you're speeding in the Spirit with God.
That's right.
Folks, witnessing and serving Jesus comes through an empowered life, living it, not just words.
That's right.
The message that Paul preached, the message that you preach, comes more powerfully as you live the life than what you say. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. And when I came to you, brethren, I didn't come with my superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. It's easy to preach it, isn't it, with our words. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In other words, that the power of the resurrection would show up in my preaching, in my digging a ditch, in my going to my neighbor, in whatever it is that God's calling you to do. God's going to have to just show up. I'm not going to make plans. God's going to do it. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. That shows you what we've got. Ever been in front of speech class and you get up in front and they tell you to give a speech and you know you're not in the spirit, you're just right in front of your English teacher having to give a speech. And the knees are knocking and you know. That's what happens when you get up here and in your own strength. But when the power of God is working through you, you have no fear. It was not, my message and my preaching were not in the persuasiveness of words or of wisdom that I've learned, but it's in demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
That's right.
Folks, these are words we have to appropriate. We have to live. It's not enough that we say that resurrection power is available. We need to start witnessing it so that your faith would not rest on what I say, the wisdom of men, But it would rest upon seeing the power of God at work in the lives of others.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
That's the life that Christians should be living. That we're living in response to awe and reverence and power and kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Not, hey, we're doing our own thing and things are pretty good and we got good worship and we can give and we can get a message. No, it's a demonstration of the awe of God that we get caught up in worship and we give extravagantly, as Bert said, and we begin to hear the message and then come to the cross and respond and say, I'm leaving these double doors and I'm going to go out today and I'm going to choose to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That's the kind of living that God wants. He wants to see people on fire, not lukewarm church. He wants people that are raising up out of their seats as the message is being preached. Not because they're raising up because I'm persuading you with words, but you're being convicted by the Holy Ghost that lives within you. That's just looking to get out and bust out in resurrection power. He didn't want to act like us. He wants to act like Him. Resurrection power. My gosh, we need it. Once we're saved, folks, we testify by our deeds. Always, it says, Paul, always abounding in service. Abounding in service. That means let's just go to the next activity. Let's go to the next piece of work. Oh, but Pastor, that doesn't save me. No, it doesn't save you. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, in the work of the Lord, in the work of the Lord, in the work, work, work. Knowing that your toil, your work, is not in vain in the Lord, because you're keeping the prize, the upward call of Jesus Christ right here. As you're working, you're looking and going, oh man, that's why I'm doing it. That's why they could go to the cross and be hung upside down, because they were staring in the eyes of Jesus, knowing, here I am. It's all waiting for you. I want you to do the work down there. Without vision, without goals, the people will perish. You're not going to come into church. You're not going to come to prayer. You're not going to go to home groups. You're not going to work for the Lord. You're not going to serve Him. You're not going to do anything if you don't keep that prize right here motivating you to do so. Because the world will distract you. It will get you busy and you will just be lukewarm. Yeah. Folks, after you're saved, listen to me, after you're saved, you work. You work. You persevere. You endure. You toil. You pick up your cross. You follow Him. But work will not get you saved. Work will not get you saved, but once you get saved, you're called to work. Prayer takes work. Ministry takes work. It doesn't just happen without you leading a disciplined life. It doesn't happen without you deciding, choosing with an act of your free will to make certain choices in life. It just doesn't fall on you. By grace, I'm saved through faith. Yes, you are. But once you are saved and you got your ticket and it's been bought with the price, you got to pick up your cross and follow Him and work and lead a disciplined life and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and get on fire and exhibit to the world that you can worship, that you can give, that you can serve, that you exemplify kingdom on heaven, and nothing will deter you in all my circumstances and all of the suffering that comes my way. It's as if it's not even there. How can they do that? Who could possibly empower them to do such a thing? Let me tell you about Him. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And He rose from the dead. And the power of the resurrection life lives in me. Woo!
Yes.
That's what it's about. And if we don't get that excited about that, you're not going to do it. You won't get motivated. Faith indeed saves you, but you won't operate in His divine power until you live and walk in the Spirit.
That's right.
Because it's only in the Spirit that you can live in a resurrected, empowered life.
Amen.
Folks, you won't live and walk into the Spirit until the power of the new life is greater than the power of your old one.
That's right.
Right? You're not going to start making those decisions, taking every thought captive, moving away from lust, moving away from worldliness, moving away from your own things, until that power within you, that life of the Spirit within you, is greater than your old life. Until you get more interested in what Jesus says about it than more interested in what you want. The Scripture says so. Romans 6. I'm going to read this one from the Message because it's good. So what do? Just go on and keep on sinning? You get saved so God can keep on forgiving? Hey, God's a God of forgiveness. Let's just keep sinning so He can keep forgiving. That way things are at work. I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize that we packed up and left there for good? What a great analogy. That's what happened in baptism when you were baptized, folks. If you were serious when you said, I want Christ in my life, I'm dying to myself. That's what happened. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, signifying baptism, we entered into the new country of grace, which is a new life in a new land. Some of you got to replace some of your old friends, unfortunately, because they're not living in a new land. You moved away. Spiritually.
Hallelujah.
So sometimes once that happens spiritually, you got to do it physically. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. Even mother, father, son, and daughter you're willing to forsake if they're not following Christ. Yeah. That's what Jesus said. That's rough. That's blood kin. That's my brother. Jesus is your God. So you want your brother or you want your God? I'm not saying you got to leave your brother. Your brother just got to follow you as you follow Christ. When we're lowered into the water, it's just like burial of Jesus. But when we're raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. You're living a resurrected life. Now you got to get some power in that resurrected life. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace sovereign country. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. That's just not verbiage, folks. That's just not words. It's truth. It's truth. A decisive end to that sin, miserable life. No longer it sins every beck and call. Every time that thought comes up, you just say, no, slay that thing. Realize who you are. Realize that it may cost you and you may suffer a little bit. But that the fact that I'm, you know what, it's worth it because I'm staring at paradise. I'm staring at the bosom of the Father. There's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. There David's walking around. There's a host going up there. Come on, Scott, you can do this. Listen, there were lions in the den when I was there, says Daniel. But Scott, there's no lions around you. There's just a few rough people. You can handle that. Trust me, even if they eat you, here you are with us. So you can be celebrating with us in the next breath you take. In the meantime, do your work that you've been called to. The call of God that's on your life. Answer that one. Not the call of the enemy that says, hey, come on over here and party tonight, man. You can do it. Don't worry about it. You won't get drunk. Just two or three. That's fine. There won't be anybody there that's got you got to worry about. Old way of life, nailed to the cross. Make a decisive end. No longer it sins beck and call. What we believe is this. If we get included, and you are, in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection.
That's right.
We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word in your life.
That's right.
When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. Right. But alive, he brings God down to us. Through the Holy Spirit, through that thought life you have. But there's a war, right? The old self, what did I say before in the previous scripture? Until the new life gets more powerful than the old life, you're going to continue to act like your old life. So you're going to have to do some exercise. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to read the word. You're going to have to fellowship. You're going to have to praise and worship. You're going to have to serve. You're going to have to exercise that spirit man in you. Otherwise, your carnal man is going to rise up and going to win every time those thoughts come. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. You've got to have that attitude that was the same in Christ Jesus. That's what he meant by that scripture. You've got to have the same attitude towards the sin stuff as Christ Jesus had towards it. Otherwise, he's not living in you. Folks, if you're embracing sin as your God, that's not Jesus.
Right.
Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue. I love it. And you hang on every word, are you? Or do you have a tough time getting in it? You are dead to sin and you are alive to God. That's what Jesus did. Dead to sin, alive to God. Very simple, the message. Resurrection. That means you must not give sin a vote. When it's the devil going, go for it, man, and the Holy Spirit's telling you to restrain yourself, you ain't even got a vote. Get out of my camp.
Right.
Call a friend. Get in the car. Drive away. Turn your back on it. Run if you have to.
That's right.
But whatever the devil's knocking and wherever he's knocking and wherever you are, if you're in the midst of it, call a friend, run, hike, resist the devil, he will flee. If you don't have a weapon, if you're weak, if you're not carrying your sword with you, if you're in that kind of position, go to somebody who does and is and will intercede for you.
Yes.
You don't have to go down. It means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your life. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even spend a second on it. Don't even run little errands. Some of you guys are still running little errands for sin in your life. You want God, but you want a little bit of the good stuff over here in your life too, or you think it's good. Don't run little errands, little bits of sin. It'll poison you that are connected with your old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly in full time. Full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way. God's way, not your way. God's way of doing things. Sin cannot tell you how to live. You're a free will being. You were created in the image of God. You're God's highest creation.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. You are a free will being. You are God's highest creation. He created you in such a way that you can tell sin to go to hell.
Yes.
You can. There ain't no devil stopping you. There ain't no person stopping you. You are the only one stopping you from telling sin to go to hell. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. Till you know that you have that choice, that you have that liberty, that you have that right, till you and you can exercise it, you're never going to call on it. Wow. So consider your calling. What did I tell you your call was? Increase your knowledge of God, operate in the power of the resurrection, and endure suffering along the way. Increase your knowledge of God, operate in the power of His resurrection by doing what the Holy Spirit tells you all your life, and endure anything along the way. Anything other than that agenda in your life as you pursue your own little kingdom is going to get a stand in the way of God freely moving through you as an open channel. And we wonder why we don't see the power of God at work today in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Consider your calling, the price that was paid for your salvation, and the fact that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit. And here's what you got to do and how easy it is. Choose this day, right? Choose with your free will to act appropriately. Why do we complicate this? Choose the right thing. Right? Wrong. Right? Well, right? Wrong. Right? Wrong. I choose right. Oh, but the devil's in the way of that right choice. No, he's not. He's just throwing things to your mind that you died too long ago. That you should be putting your hand up to every moment. If you know and recognize it's sin, you don't even let them finish a sentence.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You don't even let them finish a sentence. If you got a friend coming up you and you think he's going to entice you to go drinking or whatever it is, and you know it's just going to lead to debauchery and all this other kind of stuff, and whatever the sin may be, is you're going to know that woman's over there, and you know, as soon as you see that walking down the road, you start going down the other way. And say, listen, I love you, brother, but you know what? I am just not going to put myself in that kind of temptation, nor am I going to put myself in that kind of situation. I want to keep my eyes and ears and everything pure. I want to be a pure virgin before my God, and I'm not ashamed of that. I want to be a son. He comes back to recognize and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, Daniel, David, Abraham, that spirit that's in you, that strength of Samson. I want to see a man and woman of God and a child of God respond to me like David or Samson or these others that have gone on before you. I've put it in the book. I've shown you the way to go. Why don't you walk in it? It's your choice. Nobody can stop you. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave was in David and Abraham, and he's in you. There were no special saints in the past that had special things that were going on outside of what the Holy Spirit was doing in them.
That's right.
They put their pants on the same way you do. These stories we read in the Bible can happen today. This is not a book of the past. It's a book of the past, present, and future. Let's quit living in the past and bring it into the present. We live in the power of His resurrection. He's not on the cross.
That's right.
He's risen. So should you, spiritually speaking. You, to get it done, with your free will, choose to act appropriately. Romans 13, 13 and 14. Let us behave properly, as in the day. Not secretly. Let's not say, well, we're going to behave in the day, but you know what? People aren't going to see me late at night because no one's up anyway. Let us behave properly as in the day. So it's open. I'm an open book. You can read me anytime. You want to look at my phone? Look at my phone. You want to look at my bills? Look at my bills. You want to look at all the conversations that I've had? You want to look at my life through the week or pop in anytime, anywhere, any place at any time and look at my life? I'm going to be squeaky clean. That's the kind of person that God wants us to live like. Now, are we all the time? No. Thank God for the cross and for forgiveness and for the opportunity to get do-overs. But that's our vision. That's our goal. There's none of that going on, folks. There's none of that going on in heaven. The only time you're going to see sin operate is on here on the earth. It won't be in heaven. It was kicked out of heaven down to here, and why he did that, I don't know, but he did. And we made a wrong choice in the Garden of Eden. Don't make the wrong choice today. You have an opportunity. You have a free will. You can say no where Eve said yes. You can say no.
That's right.
Thank you. Romans 13, 14, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness and sexual. He's just giving a list of some of the things, right? Carousing, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, sensuality, lust, right? Strife, jealousy. He's just giving a sin list. But he's saying, look, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it ain't going to just fall on you. You have to choose this day whom you're going to serve. You have to choose not to sin. And make no provision. I love this part. Make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. In other words, don't think ahead of forethought, the fleshly things. See, he says, what happens with lust is it comes up here first. He says, make no provision for that thought to get a root in your life. Because once it becomes a thought, it turns into sin. Once sin turns into its thing, it produces death. What death produces, then you're just a holy mess. And thank God that Jesus can do this and say, okay, let's try again. You better do more than try. Set the vision in front of you. Look what the price that was paid for your life. And I'll tell you right now, you'll do whatever it takes. You'll endure suffering because you know that this life is temporary. We're just a breath. We're passing through. Generation after generation has been buried. So will you one day. Your eternal future is your hope. Your eternal future with Jesus Christ and the price that he paid for you to have an eternal bliss is what we got to stare at when we're looking at people that are insulting us so we can go, you know what? You can offer me nothing. Well, I mean, you can. Don't get offended, please. But in this life, all you could do is minister to my body, which is going to go back to the dust. I got a God who cares about me every day that has given me orders, marching orders, that I got to obey over you. As much as I want to minister to you, I can't follow you in that direction. I love you, but I'll show you a better way. These are life situations that we have to respond in. Take thoughts captive. Stop the excuses of I just can't. Well, the devil made me do it. I'm just weak, Pastor. Born again, resurrection power lives in you if you've accepted Christ.
That's right.
Born again, resurrection power lives in you. God's wisdom sits right there in your spirit to accept or reject.
Amen.
God's wisdom is sitting in you to accept it, no matter how much of it you have. It's there to say yes or to say no. John 16. But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away, Jesus speaking. For if I don't go away, the helper, the counselor, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, right, will not come to you. But if I go, I get to send you the counselor, the helper, the comforter, the wisdom guy sitting inside you, right? But when he, the Spirit of truth, and he is about truth and about God's word and about conviction and about telling you what's right and what's wrong, he'll guide you into all of that. And he will not speak on his own initiative. You know what? He's representing the Father. But whatever he hears, he's going to speak. And he will disclose to you what's to come. Wow. He will glorify me. Everything he does will honor my life. Jesus speaking. For he's going to take what is mine, and he's going to disclose it to you. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave lives in you. The same wisdom that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. The same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus lives in you because there's only one of them.
Right.
All things that the Father has are mine. Here's your trilogy, Trinity, whatever you want to call it. All things that the Father has are mine, Jesus. Therefore, I said that he, the Holy Spirit, here's your Trinity, triunity of God. He's one, but he's three, but he's one. Takes of mine and he will disclose it to you. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen the Father, you've seen the Holy Ghost. And by God, if you've seen the Holy Ghost, we should see you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for conviction. Just thank you for keeping the goal right there so I can watch it every day, see it every day. If I got to put the hands and feet of Jesus up in my mirror, whatever it takes. Look at the prize. Stare at the goal. The upwards call of Christ. I will not be deterred. I will not be dismayed. We got to keep that, folks. Stop the excuses. Jesus is your spiritual ladder. Hello? Remember Jacob's ladder in the Old Testament when he was connected with God through prayer? Prayer connect. How many of you know prayer connects us with God? Hello, it's communication. It's talking with God. Jacob was communicating with God. And spiritually speaking, he gave him a metaphor. He saw a ladder. That was signifying that's what prayer does for us. It gives us a spiritual connection to the Father through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the mediator that spreads out the ladder. Get that picture? Jesus is your spiritual ladder that extends from heaven to earth in order to take you from earth to heaven. One day physically, but right now, folks, guess what? Spiritually. Spiritually speaking, you can live a spirit-led life because you're connected to the Father through Jesus Christ, who's given you the Spirit so that God's Spirit and the Holy Spirit in you can connect and communicate. Look at Ephesians 2, 4 to 6. But God, being rich in mercy, thank God, because of His great love, which He has loved with us for us, because we're His highest creation. We're created in His image. He's Daddy, Abba, Father. Even when we were dead, even when we decided to say no and we sinned, He made us alive together with Christ. Why? By grace, by a gift, because we're His highest creation and we're His kids, and even though we've rebelled, He still loves us. By grace you have been saved. And He raised us up with Him. Well, we're still down here, Pastor. How can you say that? Because He's talking spiritually. I'm talking about resurrection power, not that you have to die and resurrect physically. That's not going to happen one day too. But you've been raised spiritually already. You have the power of resurrection. He's raised us up with Him. And where has He seated us with Him? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You have His authority. You have His power. You have His Holy Spirit in you. It's a real deal, folks. You got it. The only one standing in the way of it operating in you is you. Not the devil, not your enemies, you. There is nothing but yourself that can hinder you from connecting with God. Nothing stopped Jacob from praying. Nothing stops you from praying. Amen. You are the one who decides to stop the flow of power or quench the Holy Spirit when God decides to move through you or others. When God decides to move, you have to make a choice. When God and His Holy Spirit brings you conviction because you're about to sin, you have got to make a choice. It's all about you. I hope we didn't get that on tape. You can always take that one out. Oh, yeah. Seriously, folks. Life's about choices. You can choose good. You can choose evil. You can choose temptation. You can not choose temptation. You can do what's right regardless of the cost, regardless of your relationships. He's the most important one you got. Stop making this hard. You're standing in the way of yourself, operating in the power of the resurrection by putting sin and circumstances in your life that would make it cloudy. The connection. I'm sorry, God, I can't hear you because I'm over here screwing around. Folks, this is real deal. You're alive in the Spirit. You may not see it every day. You got to believe it by faith because it's real. But you got to connect in the Spirit with God every day, regularly. Discipline your life. It's work. Work doesn't get you saved, but after you get saved, you work. Prayer, fellowship, reading the Word. I'll say it over again because that's your message today. Jesus is your spiritual ladder. 1 Thessalonians 5. You're the one who decides whether you're going to stop the flow of God in your life or not. Nobody else, not the devil. Do not quench the Spirit. Pretty easy verse to memorize. Don't you think? Keep going. Do not despise prophetic utterances. In other words, when God wants to speak through you, right? Pretty verse, easy verse to memorize. What do? Examine everything carefully. Do you? Or do you just react? Hold fast. That's a good one. To what? To the good stuff, folks. It's hard to hold fast to good when temptation's in front of you. It's hard to when your flesh is crying out and you're saying, man, I just want that one more drink. Or, man, I just want sex one more time. Or I just have to have this in my life. Or I just have to. No, you don't have to have it. You can make the choice not to. Because there's things that are better than sex and women and drugs and all that stuff in heaven. The Holy Ghost filling in you will give you a greater high than you'll ever get down here. And the one good thing about that is it's eternal. It's not temporary, because you get the fix here, and you get it quickly, it's going to be gone tomorrow, and you got to get it again. And then once you reach the end of your life, you're never going to get it again, unless you trust in God and put your faith in Him. abstain from what? Every form of evil. And evil comes in lots of forms, folks, not just people. And it's easy to recognize. Trust me, that still small voice goes, nope, don't do it. Yeah. And when you hear that thing, amen, hallelujah, whatever you got to do. Get in the car, leave, hang the phone up, whatever. It's not hard. It really is not hard. That's what, well, it's hard because you are selfish. Because you're used to coddling and nursing your flesh. This world surrounds you with so much electronic data and so much worldly, good, pleasurable things for the body. Who doesn't like it? In a nice house, in a nice car, and at the beach, and all the delicacies of food, and all this kind of stuff. When that's your focus, folks, you're in the wrong place. Because you're hearing from the world and you're coddling your flesh. It gets used to it. So if God calls you out into the middle of a desert somewhere in a foreign country where you're on food and or water and whatever and stuff like that, you're not prepared. You're not, because you've not disciplined your body. You could never handle the stress of that. So you could never be called there. Therefore, if that was your calling, you've missed it. Choose good. Choose good. The Holy Spirit's job is to reveal, to unfold, and to take the things that are of Christ, we read that, right? And do what? Disclose. Show them to us. That's as far as he's going. Then that free will that God created in you when you were born takes over. And you can choose to whatever he reveals or says to you, go in his direction, or listen to the voices of the world that say, hey, come on over here, it's just for the moment, let's party. Whatever. It's that simple. But is that hard? The Holy Spirit's job is to show. He prepares us to be more than a match for satanic forces. Can I get an amen?
Yes.
He prepares us to be more than a match. Greater is he that's within us than the satanic forces in your life. If Satan is beating you up, it's because you've given him the foothold. You have allowed him to come into your life and tear you apart.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit gives you enough, more than enough to be a conqueror, more than enough to be a match against satanic forces in this world today. More than you entertaining your fear, there's an abundant peace there for you. Fear cannot get a foothold unless you give it a foothold. And usually it comes in is because you're not walking the straight and narrow with God. If you want to think about it. Because if you were and you were abiding in him, God gives you the peace through any circumstance, even when you're in deep water.
That's right.
But this resurrection power does not manifest in your life until the power of the new life. Your willingness to yield to instruction. I want to put it that way, okay? What's the new life? Your willingness. The new life is the Holy Spirit in you, right? Therefore, your new life is your willingness, your free will, to obey that still small voice that's in you that says, don't do it. If that voice is not greater than your old life, what will prevail? You must choose to die to worldly influence and present yourself to God for service, for ministry, right? On His terms, the law, not your own. You hear what I just said? What's God's terms? The law. It doesn't save you. But once you get saved, what do you have to do? Work. And how do you work? You lead a disciplined life. And what are you supposed to discipline yourself to? The law. It's his nature. It's his character. It's who he is. It's what's going on in heaven. It's what's going to be going on when we get there. Won't need grace and mercy and all that stuff because we're going to be locked in. We're going to be with him. We're not going to want to. We can't. We won't be able to. Now, I don't know all the theology behind that. I mean, Satan got kicked out. Maybe somewhere along the line you'll have the ability to say no. But let me tell you something. Right now you have the ability to say no or yes. And my advice to you is to say yes and amen to the things of God, to the character and nature of God. The law does not have to be some restrictions that you have to live by. It can be good. It can be nurturing. It could be something that you're like looking forward to reading so that you have an opportunity to love God and show Him through your obedience. That's how we have to look at it, not as a book of rules. When you do, it will come supernatural. Folks, on His terms, you present yourself to Him. This is huge, because we're getting to the end here, where if you want to present yourself at this cross, you got to come up to this cross on His terms, not your own. You can't have one foot in the grave and one foot up on land. You got to take your grave clothes off when you come to Jesus. He says, unwrap Lazarus. Unwrap him. Don't put all that other stuff on him. Get him unwrapped. You can't live straddling the fence. You can't be lukewarm. God says He'll spew you out of His mouth if you're complacent and lukewarm with Him. Stare at the vision. Stare at your prize. Stare at what He paid, the price He paid for you. Look at the cross. Before you get up here and kneel and say, God, I'm yours, I'm yielding, you got all of me now. You had part of me, but now I took my foot out of the grave. I'm taking my grave. Don't take your clothes off. I'm taking my grave clothes off spiritually. And I'm just presenting myself spiritually here for you today as an instrument. Play me. Use me. Help me to work. Not in my own strength, but in the power of the resurrection. Because then you can preach every day. Then you can go serve every day and not whine about it. Because you're going to do it in His strength. How many times have you seen preachers that go without sleep and they preach when they're in the anointing? It doesn't matter. Because God doesn't sleep or slumber. So when He's working in you, you don't need it. That's good. I like that. Thank you. It's truth. You must present yourself to God on His terms. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore I urge you, brethren, all of us are brethren, right? You're all saved. If you're not, you better get up here and get saved while I'm finishing this message. By the mercies of God, urging us by His mercy, He's pleading with us, stare at the cross, stare at the prize, understand what you've been prepared for. Present your bodies, which are carnal, which are here temporarily, which you have an ability to use on God's behalf, not your own. Present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. That means you got to get willing to get up on the altar, have Him slice and dice you and tell you no to this, no to that, no to this if it's sin in your life, and not jump off the altar and not go, woof, I got free. No, you're free when you're here. You might be bound in your flesh, but you're free in the spirit. And let me tell you, your flesh ain't going. Your spirit lives forever. I'd rather be free in the spirit and bound by my flesh than to sit here and be free in my flesh and not know what's going to happen in my spirit. So I'm urging you to live as a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is what? Your spiritual service, your work. Work of worship. Worship just doesn't come natural. You got to work at it once you're saved. You got to discipline yourself. Some of you get up singing. And some of you get up and the last thing you're doing is singing. Don't be conformed to this world. That's easy. But be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Get your old self out of there. Get your new self in there. Well, how do I get in my new self? Read His Word. Fellowship with the saints. Praise and worship. Connect with God through daily prayer with your cup of coffee. Don't make this hard. So that you're going to prove what the will of God is. What is His Word? It's His Word. That which is good, acceptable, and perfect. You won't get out what you don't put in. You won't know what's good if you don't know and read and accept from God what is good. You define your own terms. You let the world dictate what's good and what's bad. And the world thinks sin today is good. Prove God's will by your actions, not your words. Rounding this thing up, I want you to get excited. You shouldn't be like, oh, this is going to be tough. No, this is going to be really easy. When we close here, it's going to be really easy. You get to use your free will to make a choice. And you just choose this day who you're going to serve. Wholeheartedly. Acceptable to God. Full service. Full steam ahead, Pastor. I want both feet running. I don't want one foot in the grave. I want resurrection power. I'm tired of living a mundane, lazy life. I want all of what God has for me. I want the full calling on me. I don't want to live like I used to be. And if that's not your heart, then don't come up and don't worry about it. But if it's your heart, you got to ask Him. You have not because you ask not. And He's got to know that you know that you know that you really mean it when you're up here. Not because Pastor's calling you, or because there's 15 people up here and I don't want to be left out. Or there's nobody up here and I don't want to be the first. What kind of garbage is all that? Run up to the altar and say, God, I'm yours. Don't worry about pride. Don't let that stand in the way of you doing business with God. All these altar calls that people have, chew gum, way to service, way to refrain. No, you don't want to get up. Listen, when I'm done with this, I'm sitting down. I'm done. I've done my job. The Holy Spirit is trying to convict you right now. That's His job, is to convict you of anything that stands between you and your relationship with God. And He says, crucify it. Come into resurrection power today. After all, that's why you're here, to celebrate my resurrection. Now let's celebrate yours. Yes. Choose to be moral instead of immoral. Choose to forgive instead of holding an offense. Deny self and trust God. But Pastor, I keep failing. I'm needy and I'm weak. Congratulations. It's in the needy places and weak places that God delights to work and show forth His miraculous power. Now you're ready for a miracle. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and you might be it. And He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. Hold fast to what I told you by faith." You don't see it. The waves are huge around you. I don't care. My grace will be sufficient. But I'm suffering. My grace will bring you through. What is this grace? Staring at eternity. Knowing that, you know what? Dead in the body is alive with Christ. Alive with Christ, dead in the body. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, he says now in response to that, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Folks, you get no credit for anything you do in the Spirit because it's actually the Holy Spirit doing it through you. You've just gotten out of the way. So you can't get credit. You just got to be this, I don't know the best way to put it, no clogs in the drain. The ladder has connected Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to God the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And you're standing there in Jesus' arms in the middle of it all, watching them both, all three of them work. Whoo, look at God work. Me? You're just being able to be used by the power of God being connected between the Holy Trinity. And you're in the way. Jesus is holding you and saying, hey, use this little free-willed individual we got down there. Father, you've chosen the church to be your witness on earth right now. So my power's in them. The Holy Spirit's in them. You're up there cheering them on with all the saints. And you're saying, come on, get out of the way. Do my will. That's all you are. Anything else, any other picture you have about life is just your own. That's going to go away as soon as you get to be whatever. How many years you got? That's the way it works. So what's the bottom line, Pastor? That was your last scripture. What's the bottom line? Personally, I say work. You're saved by grace, through faith, but now it's time to work. We've been lazy too long as a church. Not talking about you individually. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. We're talking about the people of God. The miraculous power of God living within the church, and we're looking at the world, and we're trying to figure out what part is the church and which part is the world. Discipline, okay, here we go. Discipline your faith-saved life. If I was going to talk to you, I'd say discipline that faith-saved life of yours. I'm saved by grace, Pastor, and you're just yelling, and you're getting me all riled up inside. And discipline that saved faith life. Understand the power of God resides in you. He's expecting you to get up and move and live and have your being in Him, not your own little world. Discipline that saved faith life. Discipline your faith-saved life. Go to God in prayer for everything. Read His Word daily. Cultivate a life of praise and worship. Exercise your spiritual gift. Serve your fellow man. Die to your old selfish life. And obey the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit when He speaks. And folks, your obedience helps to increase the volume of His voice. And it promotes the power of His resurrection in your life. I'm going to say that again. Your obedience to the will and word of God will increase the volume of the rhema voice of God in your life and promote the power of His resurrection in your life. We celebrate Christ's resurrection today. Hallelujah, right? Amen. Amen. How about yours? Your spiritual one, that is. Some of you are trying to hold on to part of your old life while trying to walk or even run with Jesus. But it only serves as a ball and chain. Listen, it only serves as a ball and chain for Spirit-empowered ministry. You want a supernatural, Spirit-filled life where you're being led by the Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit and you demonstrate ministry according to the cross and the resurrection power of that cross versus where you are right now? Well, you're taking a ball and chain with you if you are serving both Jesus and the world around you. Why don't you come up to the cross, fully surrender, trade your ball and chain, your old life, really, for His. And here's what you need to come up and ask for. If you want to do that, if you want to stay seated, you stay seated. Ask for resurrection power and stay out of the way. Listen to me. You come up, you ask for resurrection power, and you stay out of the way because your Father wants you to have it. All you have to do is yield. All you have to do is when that voice comes in is to say yes and amen. If you're serious, and you better take a few moments to ponder that, if you're serious, Father, I am yours. I no longer want to act in any way, shape, or form in my own strength. I'm a child of the King. I want to reflect that. I am weak, but you are strong. Holy Spirit, I make a decision of my will to yield to you today and need you in my life and others and brothers and sisters to hold me accountable to saying yes and amen to the things of God. Touch me now and fill me with your Holy Spirit resurrection power as you did Jesus. Amen. I've just done that. How about you, Pam?